Officials in the Pacific Northwest are investigating two fires set earlier this week. So far, no one has claimed responsibility for the attacks on a horticulture center at the University of Washington or a tree farm in Oregon. Federal officials say the two incidents are being considered separately, but investigators reportedly believe the two fires are related. They think they were set by radical environmentalists opposed to genetic engineering. From Seattle, NPR's Wendy Kaufman reports.
A spokesman for the FBI says that arson attacks by so-called eco-terrorists are increasing in intensity and becoming more frequent. The Earth Liberation Front is known to the FBI for conducting such terrorist attacks, and the initials ELF were scrawled at the scene of the Oregon fire. There was no such graffiti at the Horticulture Center, where demolition and cleanup efforts continue. Bob Roseth is with the University of Washington.
See that office there with the area where the windows used to be. That's where the fire started. That's Professor Toby Bradshaw's office. You can see the remains of charred bookcases and desks. And I don't think that's what they mean when they say your hard drive is toast, but that hard drive is clearly toast.
The arsonist's apparent target, Toby Bradshaw, had been targeted once before during the 1999 anti-WTO demonstrations. Working in a stifling conference room where the acrid smell of smoke still lingers, Bradshaw says there are people who don't like the idea of genetically altering trees, and even though he isn't personally doing that now, his work is likely to lead in that direction. He calls Monday morning's attack a horrible terrorist act by ignorant cowards.
The purpose of this firebombing is supposed to be, I imagine, to intimidate researchers or to slow down research progress. And it really does neither. If anything, it strengthens the resolve of researchers to go forward. After all, if you have enemies like this, you must be doing something right.
Bradshaw studies the genetics of trees, trying to breed a hybrid poplar. He starts with a male and female and looks at their offspring.
It's classical genetics. It's the same way that Mendel worked on whether pea plants were tall or short. Well, I look at poplar trees and find out whether they get a disease or they are resistant to the disease. I look and see if they're tall or short. I look and see if they have many branches or few branches.
By conventional crossbreeding or through genetic engineering, Bradshaw might be able to develop a tree that would grow extremely fast in a very concentrated industrial forest. Timber companies might well profit. But Bradshaw says so with the rest of us. If enough wood could be produced in industrial forests, he says, the old growth forests could be left alone. The fire caused an estimated $2 to $3 million in damage to the horticulture building here, but beyond that, plants, tissue culture, slides, rare books, and research were also lost or damaged, and much of that cannot be replaced. In the last couple of days, researchers and others have been allowed back into the building to assess the damage and remove what they could from their offices. Faculty member Sarah Reichert lost invaluable plant tissue cultures for endangered species. She says the fact that the center could have been a target for those who call themselves friends of the environment is ironic.
Every single person here is working on some issue of natural ecosystem conservation. And whether it's looking at trying to reduce the pollutants in the urban areas that get into our water systems, my work on endangered species and invasive species, Kern's work on ecological restoration, every one of us is doing research that's aimed at protecting the environment.
Beth Burrows is with the Edmonds Institute, a group that wants to restrict genetic engineering until its long-term consequences are more fully understood. She agrees the center does some very good work, and she disagrees with the tactics of whoever set the fire. Still, she says she understands their acute frustration, and she feels sadness.
Sadness for the kind of desperation that pushes people to make a dramatic statement when they might have made a quieter, more compelling statement.
Officials say that if those responsible for the two fires are identified, they will be prosecuted by the federal government. Wendy Kaufman, NPR News, Seattle.